Greetings and welcome to all this morning in Jesus' name. We're glad to be gathered here in the house of the Lord again and with the people of God to worship the Lord together. We have so many valuable things that we're talking about and studying in our Sunday school. This question of faith, it can become quite in-depth and complex as we try to figure out what Jesus is talking about there and apply it in our own life, in our own experience, to exercise our faith. And, you know, sometimes we focus on the greatness of our faith, and maybe when we should be focusing on the one who is the object of our faith, who is the Lord, nothing is too great for him. And yet, I think there is such a thing as also having our faith increased. This morning, I would like to take the scripture from Psalm 28. We've been singing about rocks this morning. I think it was our first song this morning was about the rock, and then we just got done singing the song, "My Hope is Built on Nothing Less." And Christ the solid rock. And I don't know, it seems like God is wanting us to think about rocks today, I believe, because that's kind of what I had in my mind, too, in the opening meditation. Here in Psalm 28, he says, "Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands toward the holy oracle. Draw me not away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity, which speak peace to their neighbors, but mischief is in their hearts. Give them according to their deeds and according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them after the work of their hands. Render to them their desert. Because they regard not the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hands, he shall destroy them and not build them up. Blessed be the Lord, because he hath heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving strength of his anointed. Save thy people and bless thine inheritance. Feed them also, and lift them up forever." Recently, Ruth and I were on the way to my sister Lena's funeral in Virginia, and we got to the way we normally go there at Cairo, Illinois, where you cross the bridge over the Mississippi River, then you cross the bridge over the Ohio River, and it's a place where the two rivers come together. And the bridge over the Mississippi is closed for repairs, and so we had to find another way. And so we went around another way. It wasn't that much longer or further, but it was some. But it took us into new territory that we'd never seen before, and I didn't know existed. And so on the way back, we stopped at a place along the river that was called the Grand Chain. And this was on the Ohio River, and it's a chain of rocks about 6 miles long that stretches down the length of the Ohio River there, just about the point where it flows into the Mississippi. And one of the oldest settlements in the state of Illinois was named there for this chain of rocks, and it's called the Grand Chain. Something I wasn't aware of, I'd never heard about it before, but evidently it's been there for generations, long before I was ever born. It was there. And yet I hadn't known about it. Of course, now there's a dam there and locks, and they take big barges up and down the river there. But as I stood there looking at that place called the Grand Chain and those rocks there in the Ohio River, I thought of the generations of people who had gone before who had seen those very same rocks. You know, the Indians. Well, who was there before the Indians? We don't really know history very far back, some speculation about things, but you know, it was there even before the Indians, the first Indians came and saw it. I'm sure that it was there. The river was running just like it is today. And the rocks were there and everything was there. And so when the first explorers came, you know, they navigated the rivers and the rocks were there and they saw them. And the settlers, as they went down the river or up the river, wherever they were going, the rocks were there. And the rivermen, and even until the present day, we could see those very same rocks that were there for generations before. Unchanged by time. They're just where they've always been. That grand chain is still there. And as I was thinking about that, you know, thinking about you know, this geographical landmark there that was such an important landmark to the people who know the rivers and who use the rivers, because they were a danger point. They had to know how to navigate through there, or else they would have been in trouble. And then I think about the rock here. Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. And I have to think of the same thing. You know, think of all the generations who have relied on that rock. All the way back, even before David the psalmist wrote this, you know, that rock is still there where it always was. And today, we're here. We are enjoying the security, the benefits, the blessings of a God who doesn't change from generation to generation. And as we think of that, you know, for us here today, he was there. He was there for Noah. He was there for Abraham and for Job, for Moses, for Daniel. He was there for all of them and all the other faithful men and women since the beginning of time, unchanging, unchangeable. And I had to think of that verse that I memorized in Bible, in summer Bible school as a little child. I memorized it in German. But it's the one that says, Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Unchanging, unchangeable. And so we have something that is solid. We can look back and we can say, look what God did for Daniel. And we have the same God. He can do the same thing for us today. And we think about the lessons that Jesus was teaching his disciples, you know, lessons of faith. And we exercise our faith. Probably the most important way that we exercise our faith today is just simply doing what God says we should do, just obeying him. That's, we read through the book of Hebrews, and that is the definition of faith that we find there. That is where faith is the most often tested and examined, is the children of Israel. They could not enter into the promised land because of unbelief. They didn't have faith. How do we know they didn't have faith? Because they didn't obey. And so I think that is the greatest test of our faith. In Lamentations chapter 5, verse 19, thou, O Lord, remainest forever, thy throne from generation to generation. Elijah, Elisha, all the prophets, right on down to our time, to the time of Christ, he was there. And he is here for us yet today, from generation to generation. Peter says, for all flesh is as grass, and he's quoting from Isaiah, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you today, in Peter's day. He was quoting from Isaiah's time. And he says, now today, this is the gospel that we're preaching. And a man, you know, generations come and go. They're like the flower of the grass. And it, the glory fades and falleth away, and but the word of the Lord is still here, and it still stands. It's still true. just as true as it was the day it was given. And we thank God for that. It gives us a stability and a security. And then, so I think it's appropriate there in the second verse where it says, "Hear the voice of my supplications." And that word supplications, I think, can be paraphrased to say, "Hear the pleadings of my heart." What are the pleadings of your heart this morning? What is it that's on your heart and on your mind today? Hear the voice of my supplications. Hear the pleadings of my heart. Just like you heard Hannah's prayer back there in the days of Samuel the prophet, or Eli. Samuel was born because of her prayers. But in the days of Eli, God heard Hannah's prayer. And David's prayers for deliverance, the prayers of King Hezekiah, and all the other prayers that have been prayed to God. Hear the voice of my supplications. We look back there, we say, well, he did it for them, he can do it for us too. And he wants to. He says, "Draw me not away with the wicked." Draw away from what? From that rock. From that which is established, that which is true, that which is secure. Draw us not away. Draw me not away with the wicked. Proverb writer says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." And in every place, in every time, God's eyes are there. He sees the good. He sees the evil. He is the one who is keeping those records. "For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." And then Paul tells us in the book of Timothy, he's writing to Timothy here, and he's talking about those who were drawn away, those who have fallen, made shipwreck of their faith, those who have left the rock and have gone after man's own reasonings. He says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure. It's not moved. Those rocks are still there. Those landmarks, the word of God that we have, it's still just right where it was at, as solid as ever. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his." And so we have that assurance. The Lord knows them that are his. And we need to find ourselves where God would have us to be. And then in verses 6 and 7, he talks about, "Blessed be the Lord, because he hath heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him. I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song will I praise him." He hath heard. I think this expression of faith is strengthened by past experience. Has the Lord ever heard? Has he answered? Have you experienced him working in your life? Has he given you affirmations and confirmations? The first one is when he heard our cry of mercy, for mercy, our call of our cry of repentance and our call for mercy. And he flooded our heart with the knowledge of sins forgiven and with peace, as we have the assurance that he has done what he said he would do. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so we go from there, and we have those confirmations of faith. He hath heard, and by our past experience, it gives us courage to continue to move forward. And we can claim these promises like he has given to us here in 1 Corinthians 10:13. Where it says, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful." God is faithful. That rock is there. It will always be there after we're gone, long after we're gone, for the next generation, for our children, for their children, and their children. God is faithful. who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. My heart trusted in him. I am helped. Have you ever trusted in something that's let you down? I have. Porch railings and boards that I stood on and other things that I trusted in, you know. I thought, well, probably it's safe. But, a vehicle that we thought would get us where we needed to go and it lets us down. We have those kind of things happen, or even another person that we had confidence in, and they let us down. But here it says, my heart trusted in him, and I am helped. God will never let us down. That rock is always there for us, that landmark. It will never change. The Lord is their strength, and he is my strength. You know, he is... It's the strength of his anointed. He says in verse 8, he says, the Lord is their strength. I don't know who they are that he's referring to, but I'd say probably those people like we were talking about, those people that lived before David's time. He was their strength, and he is the saving strength of his anointed. And so he was their strength. He is my strength. I can trust in him, depend on him for my situation. You know what, the things that I am struggling with and the things that I face are probably not that much different than what my parents faced and what their parents faced and theirs and all the way back. The Lord is their strength, and he is the strength of his anointed. Were you ever thrown into a pit and sold as a slave to Egypt and put in prison for only doing good? Were you ever asked to lead several million people through the desert for 40 years without food or water? The Lord was their strength. Were you ever thrown into a den of hungry lions? The Lord was Daniel's strength. He was their strength, and he is also the strength of his anointed. Is God able to meet my need and the things that trouble me or concern me or the things that I'm confronted with? The answer can be found in 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in 90% of things. That's not what he says. He says all things, all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. And then in verse 9, he says, save thy people, bless thine inheritance, feed them also, and lift them up forever. Just like the grand chain there in the Ohio River, you know, long after we're gone, and as long as the world stands, and on into eternity, God will save his people, and God will bless his inheritance. And today we are enjoying the benefits of that. And we have the opportunity to exercise our faith and to bring glory to God in our circumstances today. Someday we'll pass, but that rock will still be there for those who come after us. But we also can be an example of faithfulness, just like David was, that wrote this psalm, that others can look back and be encouraged by the testimony that we've left behind. He was there for them. And he's there for us. And we want to, again, be there for Brother Ed this morning, too. I was talking to Carl this morning, and he said that when he went in this morning, the doctors were working on Ed, and that his heartbeat was, he was fibrillating and very weak and high rate. And they had to shock his heart into rhythm again, and then... trying to put him on a medicine that will steady his heartbeat. And it's something to be concerned about. They were pleased with his progress up until now, but they still say that he's not out of danger. And so today they're not going to be allowing a lot of visitors in, But you can go and sit with the family if you'd like to go in. You may not be able to go in to see Brother Ed. And so let's continue to to lift him and them up in our prayers too. Shall we kneel in prayer?